All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back for College Games of the Week for week seven. Aaron's College Games of the Week. He actually submitted his, is tied for the longest, I think, 13 games. A lot of games. It was either 12 or 13. I'm not sure. I was updating the graphics. It's going out tomorrow morning since you do have some Friday games on there. It is separated. We titled the Friday games as well as the Saturday games. Not in order, though, which is kind of frustrating because when I was looking at the schedule, trying to get the rankings, you had a 4 o'clock game at the top of your fucking list. And I was like, let's put up real quick.
Rome, I just go off of the games when I'm looking at the spread on my
bookie
website.
You had Kansas and Texas Tech, and they're a 4 o'clock game, but yet you, like, usually you're like 10 o'clock, 11, you know, like, it goes in chronological order.
I'm just
order.
Going off what my bookie website has as far as whatever the games are. It's I scroll disgusting. From the top to the bottom, so that's the way it had it. I left a lot of games off this list. I could have added.
You left a lot of games.
A lot of games off. There's a lot of good games and close games this week. So
I don't. We start this episode, Aaron, and Rome's really attacking you. I don't know if it's Rome's knee pain. Is it Texas falling out of the top 25, or because the Dodgers just completely got their ass kicked today?
It sounds like Rome got bent over and taken to the woodshed.
Okay,
Dodgers got beat too. And I don't know why they put Kershaw in, by the way, when he had no chance of, like, winning the game. They're already down by four runs. He gets annihilated. Like, let's just bruise this guy's
because
ego.
Because that's the whole point.
More.
Kershaw gets annihilated in the playoffs. Might as well throw him in when the game's bit out of reach.
By the way, Dodgers barely won yesterday by a dumb move by Dave Roberts as well, trying to when he's been
like
shit.
Blake's been terrible in the ninth inning for the last month.
He was great last year, but like this year has been like really bad. Like, and then you put him in and you're just basically giving pitches and balls to hit to the Phillies. It's like, dude, come on, man. This is a really good Phillies team. I don't know if you know, but this might be the best team in Major League Baseball. You can't be doing this when we're up 4-0. And it made it like really competitive in that game too. When luckily Dodgers panned out with like a hell of a fielding play with the wheel play, but today was really stressful. My knee is killing me, dude. It is shredded, and it's probably like the worst it's felt in like a few weeks since me and Jason talked on like Sunday when someone gave me some like magical painkillers, and like I looked half retarded on the fucking podcast. That video is not coming out, guys. And
you know,
I had
Jason
to take a
said
painkiller now. But
Jason said he couldn't tell the difference between you're on a painkiller or not. You look the same regardless. So
Get the fuck out of here.
He texted me privately. I'm not supposed to indulge on that, but hey.
Once this painkiller kicks, though, because I got like 45
I think
minutes
it's starting
max
to kick, honestly.
Like,
I don't know.
We're off the road.
He started this pot and just chose violence against.
I'm very hot, dude.
I mean,
I'm irritated.
His hottest take of the pot
wrong either.
His hottest take of the pot is you not putting the games in time order on.
Yeah.
You know, your college games of the week.
It's really frustrating.
I'm surprised Rome. Rome even checked that.
Can you put some rankings on here?
I don't know if I got enough room on that pad to get those rankings in. I got to write a little smaller then.
Not when you're writing like first grade font. It's really tough. There's not a lot of space when you're writing first grade font. And that should be actually a font on Microsoft Word from here on out. Aaron's first grade font.
You know, last year we gave Aaron a hard time for the spelling of certain teams and everything.
He's been on it. He's been on it this year.
Yeah, he's been on it, but you're just, you know, you're so critical. You don't post the legal pad anymore. You want the graphics, and now you want
it's on
you
next.
You want time order. You want proper rankings on here. Like, I mean, the man's just trying to give you games to watch. It doesn't matter the ranking. Doesn't matter, you know.
Exactly.
You know, did you want the network these games are on next to?
That'd be kind of nice, actually.
Okay, all right. Just want to make sure. Just so we're clear.
I mean, 75% are going to be ESPN. I don't know if it's going to be a plus next to it, but you can guess.
Yeah. You know what? I'm done with ESPN, too. I was looking at their prices. They're hiking everything up. What a shocker here, right?
Seems everything like they got a lot of NIL shows on there now.
Cable, huh?
Seems like there's a lot of WWE pay-per-views coming on, like ESPN.
All the pay-per-views are on there, man. But, you know, I can't even get them.
What happened to Peacock? Are they done now or what?
Peacock's only got the library as well as the NXT PLEs.
Yeah,
but the main roster WWE are all on ESPN Unlimited, I think it is. So
All inclusive, unlimited. Yeah, whatever the hell it is.
Well, it's crap because like I got YouTube TV and I have regular ESPN, but ESPN Unlimited you can only get if you have certain cable providers for free. So in order for me to get this, I need to go buy ESPN Unlimited, and then I also have ESPN on YouTube TV, so I'm double paying just to get this extra content that some cable providers
get. I looked into that too. Yeah, and some it makes don't. No sense to have YouTube and ESPN Plus, and then now someone else is going to come with like plus this, tampon this. You know, it's just really.
Because I still have the regular ESPN Plus that was part of the Disney bundle prior, but that doesn't get me the ESPN Unlimited content. So, yeah, it's crap. I'm not a fan of it. I guess if you have certain cable providers, you get all this stuff. But YouTube TV, where, you know, Sunday Ticket lives, that I've had forever, which is a good product, you know, you don't get this. So, I don't know. Just going to be paying like $500 a month to watch everything I want to watch.
Yeah. By the way, as you're talking right now, they got like volleyball highlights from Texas and Tennessee. What a great sport this game is, volleyball. We don't get enough TV time for volleyball, college volleyball.
Well, Texas, I mean, that's got to, maybe they're a better team than the Texas football team. You know, they're going to put a better really product good. Out there. Okay. Really good.
Yeah, Texas.
Can't be any worse than with Texas football's pitting on the field. I'll put it that way.
All right, so I was really pissed this weekend. All right.
Sounds like you're still pissed right now, Rome.
A Texas Tech two-step. You know what? I picked the wrong Texas teams, all right? So we had two Texas teams. I should have picked the other one, Texas
Tech. Well, I ended up picking up the slack, picking you that
did.
One, Rome.
You did, and I figured if I don't get it, Aaron's going to do it. My other pick, though, for like their Westgate Super Contest was going to be Michigan. But I read too much into it. I'm like, I had that as well, like
they didn't
a
cover.
10.
They did not cover, Rome.
How about Nebraska? Did they cover? Was that it? I had Nebraska winning by 10 points, but I think they had a little bit bigger than that.
Nebraska won by 11. What was
okay? They barely covered then.
Oh, they would have lost. It was 11.5 in Westgate.
Ah, okay. Never mind then. Forget it. So I'm glad I didn't pick either. So I would have lost either way. So I had those games on. For some reason, I thought Michigan would have covered. Tough games though. We all picked favorites. I took Texas. When you're looking at like defensive stats, though, right? Texas is ranked top two, top three in almost every statistical category. You just cannot imagine a Florida team to score more than what they scored in this past game. It was just not making sense. I know you like you were up on them, and Aaron, you had your various reasons. For those that do not know, I've made a killing going against Aaron's pick sometimes when it's going against his favorite teams. When he hates a team a lot, like Texas, or when he loves a team a lot, like Florida State, I have won like 80% of these fucking bets, and that's why I have eaten a lot of steak dinners and really good breakfast, courtesy of Aaron Toler, and it's only because I've learned how he bets, and so I was going for the clean sweep, but to be honest with you, when you're rewatching the videotape, you do not have that look, though, like that look. I should have caught it whether you had it or not. You didn't have it. You were being pretty fair on this pick on Florida having a chance to upset. And I should have looked a little closer. But, dude, the way Florida played, though, it should have never happened. It should have never happened. Either way, you could win by a touchdown. You could win by a field goal. The end result should have never happened by any means necessary. Like, it was wild, and it really completely pissed me off here because I'm watching Archie Manning just, like, overthrow guys 10 feet in front of him. 10 yards. Overthrowing. Like, fucking passes that I can throw. And even though when I throw a football, I throw my shoulder out every fucking time. That's why I don't throw a football.
Well, it sounds this like guy cannot throw a fucking too, football. Rome, so.
Huh?
It sounds like your knee's already been thrown out, too. So we don't need you throwing your shoulder out as well.
I'm really trying to remember these times that Rome was out picking Aaron in college football. I feel like we're just, like, making stuff
I mean, when have we ever got Texas wrong, Jason?
Yeah, I don't mean, know.
It seems like Georgia, we just so picked Georgia every year. Week.
We told you the whole year they were frauds and they were going to go against and beat a bunch of crap SET teams with their easy schedule.
They were good last year. They were really good last year.
They were good, but they weren't great.
They were better last year.
Yeah. They were better last year.
They won a championship still. They were that close.
They were calling Quinn Ewers to give over the starting job to Arch last year.
Yeah, he wasn't great. He wasn't great last year either. Yeah. That's how good that team was. It was overcoming a pretty mediocre.
Well, I mean, look at Texas. I mean, Texas was way overrated last year. If you go back and we go back to the playoff, they barely beat Clemson by 7. Arizona State, they won because of the referees. Ohio State finally got rid of him like they were. They lost in the SEC championship game against Gunnar Stockton. He was a JV quarterback at the time. He had no business being in a big game. Texas has been exposed. We talked about me and Jason last year. They weren't ready for the primetime SEC. I still don't think they are. They haven't recruited to that level, both physically on the offensive, defensive lines.
Sarkisian now is trying to get the same type of treatment as, I'm going to say, Penn State's head coach. He just can't win the big games. And now there's a track record. Go back to USC. I don't think this is the guy. Archie Manning doesn't look like the guy. He can't throw a football. Well, how the hell is he a Heisman hopeful and a potential first-round draft pick if he can't throw a football? Like, what's with this sidewinding bullshit?
I can't check down. I can't go through the progressions. I want to give you some stats here.
Blows my goddamn mind that football game, the way it happened, I was just so pissed off because I really wanted to go 3-0 last week. And I still went 2-1. It was still really good. We had a great week last week in our Circa or Westgate, but Texas, I don't want to hear about them. I don't want to talk about them. This week, they have a big week and they're favored against Oklahoma. How the hell are they favored? And granted, Oklahoma doesn't have their main quarterback who was the leading candidate for a Heisman Trophy this year. He's out for, I think he won't come back until a bowl game, right? The backup's not that bad. But
he's trying to get back. He's trying to get back for this game, Rome.
Dude, what the hell?
Rome, I want to give you a side-by-side comparison between two coaches right now.
All right, tell me.
Through 60 games in their tenure as head coach of top-tier college football teams, head coach A is 41-19 overall, has two top-10 wins, has started five quarterbacks, has had the number one recruiting class one time, has a buyout of $45.4 million. Coach B, through 60 games, 39-21, five wins against top 10 opponents, also started five quarterbacks, had the number one recruiting class one time, buyout was $76 million. Do you know who Coach A or Coach B are?
He pulls off X?
Yes.
Tell me.
Coach A, 41-19 to the first 60, Steve Sarkisian. Two top 10 wins. Coach B, Jimbo Fisher. 39-21.
Damn.
So, I love
Jimbo Fisher, man.
Yeah, me too.
Not lie.
I'm just saying Jimbo
wins big games, though. He wins big games, Jimbo.
He won five big games versus Sark only two, and Jimbo didn't last long at Texas A&M after those 60 games. So just putting it out into the universe right now. This was on X I saw there. So,
wow.
I don't know. Jimbo got
stat of the day.
Yeah. Very well could be. I saved that one just for you, Romo. Scrolling through X, and it was kind of out there. But Sark, your guy, 2-8 versus top 10 teams at Texas.
First of all, I never liked Sark, by the way. All right. I dislike Texas.
Well, Texas was a dumpster fire before he got there. I mean, what was the coach they had before? Was it Tom Herman or whatever? That was supposed to come in there and kind of save the program. And
it was pretty bad for a while after Mac Brown. Even like the last few years of Mac Brown was pretty bad. But Texas, I don't know if you guys know, like they have like a good music composition program that was like on my list to go for either undergrad or grad school. Loved them from the bat. But then when they had the program, they had Young there. They upset USC. I hate USC fans. That was so big. You know, cool colors, cool uniform, cool mascot. What's not to like about Texas, you know?
But, are you talking about Bevo or Matthew McConaughey?
I'm a big Matthew McConaughey fan, actually.
I like McConaughey, too.
He's pretty cool.
I think he does famous better than most. Because 100%, if you're famous like that, yes, I'm just going to every game. I'm on the sidelines. I'm number one fan. That's how you
He's
do
famous. Famous, but low-key, chill, very approachable. Really nice guy. I've only met him once, but would love to have a beer with him next time.
Yeah, I mean, Texas, You talked about Vince Young winning that national title. What was that, 05, 04, 05, whatever it was?
05.
It seemed like they kind of ran into, like, bad luck when Colt McCoy, like, basically had a dead arm against Alabama. And what was it, like, the 09 championship Rose Bowl? Like, yep. From there, it just seems like Texas have been cursed. Like, they weren't any, like, they were good, but they weren't, like, where they expected to be till really Sark kind of got them there. And then, you know, it didn't make any sense, really. I mean, the money made sense for, you know, Oklahoma and Texas to leave the Big 12. That's why they did. I mean, the Pac-12 could have had them, what, a decade before?
You had a chance, yeah.
And that would have been really, really smart. They didn't do it. Now we know where the Pac-12 happened to them. But, yeah, I mean, Sark, you know, like you said, Romy's talking about, oh, the other teams, this and that. And we talked about Florida. I mean, Florida was...
not a good press conference.
Florida was in a prime spot to beat them. We talked about it coming off a bye week. Billy Napier was fighting for his job.
It was.
He's the offensive play caller. He put up a great
defense,
game plan.
Though, was supposed to be one of the best in the country. That's...
well, Rome, let's look at their opponents. Sam Houston State, San Jose State, and I can't even remember the other team. I could go out there and play defense.
Week one,
and
they played great against Ohio State.
But you're breaking in a quarterback of a redshirt true freshman quarterback that never played, new play caller, everything, kind of getting the jitterbugs out. So I think if Ohio State was to play Texas now at the Horseshoe, they'd beat them by like 17 points. I mean, that's how much difference these teams are compared to week one and week seven. So, I mean, Texas, I think, still has a talented defense. But look, Florida's got athletes, too. Florida's recruited very well. They got players, good quarterback. I said it was going to be difficult going in the swamp with, 105, 108,000 fans. The game wasn't even as close as 29-21. Texas got manhandled by Florida. That's just the bottom line if you put on the tape.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. All right. Enough about Texas. Let's just recap a few other games. Aaron's Florida State also lost a big matchup against Miami. I thought Miami
give Jason credit for calling out Miami. I mean, Miami is definitely one of the top four teams. I mean, I knew they were talented. They were good, but Carson Beck has played great. But this team is better than what I thought. They're going to win the ACC. They're going to go to the playoff. I think that's a done deal in that conference.
Most definitely. I thought Texas A&M also had a really great win against
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State, yeah. Mississippi State's a really good team. I've seen a lot of the games. I was actually... I know it's 31-9, but that was like a lot closer than what it was. Jason, you're about to say something?
Yeah, I think just going back to the Miami, I think felt they were going to be much better this year. I think the question was going to be, what would Carson Beck look like in this offense? Because during kind of the end of the Georgia run, just didn't look as dynamic as it was before. Good. But the offense is quite different this year versus was with Cam Ward last year, where you felt like Cam Ward had to do everything. And they really do stretch the field, and they're blowing things out. And I think where Miami is a lot different, I think, and this is where I think the recruiting factor of what Cristobal does, like they're in the trenches and they're big in the trenches. The offensive line is great for Carson Beck. The defensive line, the big guys, like up front, it can probably go toe to toe with some of the SEC guys. So yeah, like I felt they were going to be better. I think everything's going to stay with Cristobal, though, is like they got dudes. They got premier athletes that are national championship caliber. It's going to be the in-game coaching and the preparation and stuff like that. That always kind of is the question mark around Cristobal. So far hasn't affected him, where I thought they would definitely get into the college football playoff. I think obviously they will. This team's never won the ACC, which is crazy considering how Miami's like the legacy program. Clemson seems to have fallen off. I don't know if they sneak in and win all the SEC games and be baby competitive, but yeah, Miami, I think super impressive. And then you bring up Texas A&M. I think the funniest part, and I'll bring my Notre Dame homer into this right now. I mean, Notre Dame's two losses against is two of the top five teams in the country right now, which
good losses.
Yeah, good losses. You don't want to have losses, but good losses. They should have beat Texas A&M. But I think that goes to show you kind of how, you know, Notre Dame was ranked 0-2 and people were calling for it. And a lot of people, including myself, saying Notre Dame wins out, they're in the playoff. And they're like, oh, two-loss team, blah, blah, blah. Like, you lose to two of the top five teams in the nation right now that have had some quality wins, gone and beat people. Both teams look good that are, you know, primed to get into the playoff. yeah, it's an interesting top five right now when you look at, you know, Miami and what they've been able to do, and then their ACC road ahead, man. Like, it's, you know, they kind of stumbled obviously out of the down the stretch last year after they had, you know, was the Cal win, and I forgot which win that Rome really contested that the refs messed them up.
Virginia
like
Tech,
that.
Right?
Yeah, Virginia Tech. But, you know, the schedule for Miami is really, like, not much down the stretch. Like, the Louisville game this weekend, Aaron does not have it on the games to watch, but Louisville...
that's next weekend.
Oh, it's next weekend. Sorry, they had the bye week.
That's
sorry.
Why. Yeah.
That's why. Duh. But, I mean, Louisville, they've kind of had a team in and out. Could be a scare game. The SMU game, SMU not what they were last year, so it turns into an easier game than probably before. And so, and they got no ranked teams left at this point right now. So the destiny, you know, everything's in their hands, Miami, because they can win out pretty easily here. You're going to be looking for the stumble game. And I think that's the biggest question for Miami. Are they going to have the game that's way closer than it should be? Because the rest of these teams, they should be able to out-athlete everybody.
Yeah, I mean, but look at that Miami schedule. There's no reason they shouldn't win every one of these games by double figures, really looking at it. I mean, we're typically, like we said, Mario Cristobal, he kind of gets in his own way, stumbles, but this team might just be talented enough that he may not have to make that tough call. You know, Florida State started a rally back there in the fourth quarter, but Miami really controlled that game for three quarters, just out physicaled them, you know, out executed them. I mean, if you're looking for a slip up game, you know, SMU can make a lot of sense. You know, do they stumble back to back road games at Virginia Tech, at Pittsburgh to end the year? We know Virginia Tech's not very good, but Pittsburgh is okay. We'll see what they look like this weekend at Florida State. But yeah, I don't see no reason why Miami doesn't win the remaining of their games by at least 10 plus points every one of those games.
You guys mentioned Louisville. Aaron, I think you have some praise for them early in the season. They lost a tough one against Virginia. 30-27.
Virginia's a good team. Virginia's a really good team,
but so is Louisville. So they can still mess up a lot of people's seasons down the road. I'm not sure how many more losses they'll get, but they're really tough, man. Really tough out. Virginia's solid as well. Yeah.
I mean, Virginia, we're talking them undefeated. Well, I think that they lost to NC State, but I mean, Virginia, Miami, that could end up being your ACC, you know, title game there.
Maybe.
If all pans out. Georgia Tech, too. Don't count them out.
Georgia Tech's
a solid team.
I like Georgia Tech.
They'll get Georgia late at the end of the year at home. You know, Georgia Tech upset Miami last year, if I'm not mistaken. We called that upset. So, you know, Miami might have some bad blood looking for them ahead of at the end of the year.
That was my outside pick, long shot in the beginning of the year. So I'm rooting for GT. They got cool logos, cool colors, cool uniforms. Really good team this year. They have not been this good in a long time, so pretty fun stuff. Let's recap a little bit more, though, since we went on like this long Texas tangent. I apologize for that. Vanderbilt.
I couldn't interrupt you, man. You were just on fire.
Alabama, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt was pretty tough in the first half, and then Alabama just took a spanking on it. Actually covered. Aaron, you actually won that one. That was a nice
It was
call
a good week
there.
For me in college football, man. A good week for us.
Notre Dame looked like they were kind of playing with like a dog playing with like their prey or like their food, you know, like the first quarter or so. And then they finally started separating away. Miami, we already talked about that. Ohio State, man, what really stuck out? There was a game that stuck out. I'm just drawing a blank. Oh, that's right. It could be my UCLA fucking Bruins upsetting Penn State, the back-to-back losses, and throwing James Franklin's life completely upside down. They can't fire him. They owe him too much money. The boosters can't pay him off. He's stuck there.
Just what is the buyout, Jason, for James Franklin?
It's 50-something million. 50-something million. But that was an embarrassment. We talked a little bit about that on the NFL recap episode last time. But goddamn, dude. UCLA looked really fucking good. And, like, you know, I've seen glimpses. You know, glimpses throughout the season. Rome, you know what? Foster was not the right coach. And I'm glad Neuhauser took control of the play con, because even watching the replay here on thank God for YouTube TV, like, you can just like search it and play it almost anytime. You don't even have to record it. It plays it for you. I just had to pull out like like some tissues and then some lotion and just have myself a good time because it was a hell of a fucking match. It was really phenomenal. Penn State, though, they're in trouble.
Rome's right. $49 million basically is the James Franklin buyout. Dude, only the 12th highest buyout in the nation. So, you know, there's bigger ones out there.
That's still high.
Who's the biggest current buyout that after Jimbo Fisher got bought out?
Most expensive buyout currently belongs to Kirby Smart, $105 million.
What? What?
This was his contract for 12 years or what?
I don't know. This is according to USA Today. Yeah, Ryan Day is next at $70.9 million.
All right.
Kellen DeBoer, Sark, Dabo, all at about 60. Dan Lanning, Kurt Cignetti, 56.7. So
yeah, speaking of Ohio State though, they look a lot better than last year. Right now they're undefeated. They're number one, rightfully so. A lot of movement in the rankings. You got Ohio State, Miami, Oregon, Ole Miss at number four. I think this is our highest ranking probably in a long time. Texas A&M. I like Texas A&M. They're a really good team.
Now you're jumping on Texas A&M.
Dude, they are really good.
So you abandon Austin for College Station.
They just look really nice, dude. It's a really good team. I like football. I like teams. I'm not like stuck on like this, you know, hater mode like you guys are. You know, if it's a Detroit
hater mode, I mean, Texas stinks.
Yeah, they do stink. They do stink. I don't want to see them in the top 25 for the rest of the year. They don't belong. Even if they beat Oklahoma by some small fraction of a chance, by like a pubic hair, you know, I just want to talk about them. Oklahoma, I'm really curious how they handle Texas this week, though, because this could mean a lot in the long run at the rest of the season. Indiana, impressive wins. Alabama, really high at number 8 at 4-1. Texas Tech, probably the most surprising out of everyone in the top 10. They're 5-0. Really impressive. By the way, they changed their logo this past week. And if you're in marketing or branding, not your favorite rebrand. It's not very good. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, if you guys want to throw in your 2 cents. And then Georgia might be like the worst 4-1 team out there. I'm not sold on them. I think there could be other teams rated higher than them. But lots of movement that happened. Notre Dame, surprisingly, has been like in the lower 20s for like the past few weeks, despite them winning a few games. Now they're at number 16, but they're probably getting like the most like disrespected out of everyone in like the top 15, 20 teams.
I don't know about that. And I'm a Notre Dame homer, run, but they're the only team with 2 losses in the top 24. Aaron's Florida State Seminoles at 3-2 are 25th in the nation. So I would say Notre Dame's about where they should be. I mean, they're below your one of your other 15 teams, Michigan, which I don't think Michigan's better than them. But you're gonna get some shakeup here. These teams start playing a lot of big matchups this week. You got I don't want to spoil Aaron's games to watch, but Oregon, Indiana, that's definitely gonna shake things up here a little bit. Turn the Big Ten. Then you start getting to the SEC onslaught of these teams start playing each other. So I think you'll see some teams popping out here over the next couple weeks as we get some more head to heads in the top, top 15, top 20. I will say though, for Ohio State though, like they probably got, I mean, maybe they got 3 big games left, but you know, Illinois this week, big game for, was probably their biggest game until Michigan at this point. Penn State would have been a big game, but now that's an afterthought. So, you know, at Illinois, they don't have College Game Day there or anything, right? At Illinois, I don't know if they're going there, but seems like another big Illinois game after Illinois just had USC a couple weeks ago. So Illinois 5-1 trying to make a statement. You know, this could be a game that puts them on the map because Ohio State doesn't have to play Oregon, doesn't have to play Indiana. You know, so the other two big dogs right now that's been in the conference, they don't really have to play the Illinois and Michigan things where it's at. But I think you get to this point now where Ohio State and Oregon can potentially win out, or Ohio State and Indiana, and you got your undefeated teams going to a college football or a Big Ten title game that's playing for the first round bye.
Yeah, where is College Game Day at? Are they at Oregon, Indiana this week?
I don't think, because a College Game Day usually goes to the SEC. Check.
They usually promote it pretty well. I haven't seen anything for this week.
I thought I saw something, but I couldn't remember. Yep. Yeah, Indiana at Oregon.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Nice.
Be a good little spot for them to go to. I mean, Rome, Notre Dame's playing well. I mean, their schedule lines up pretty good. They got that matchup of USC. We're going to see what USC is all about with Michigan this week Coliseum. So that's a big game for them. But Notre Dame, I like the way they're looking. You know, could have beaten Boise State by more, covered the 20.5 by winning by 21. You mentioned Texas Tech. I didn't see the rebrand. All I hear when you talk about Texas Tech is my people are down there, Rome. Like, everybody looks like me down there. Makes sense. You would be, you know, top 10 because they're basically top 10 in everything we do. But, yeah, I like Texas Tech. I got them top 5 right now if you just go off power rankings and how they've looked. I think by far they're the best team right now in the Big 12. They've been dominating opponents. I mean, what they did to Utah, they just beat up on Houston, who was undefeated at the time. Texas Tech may be underrated. I think them and Miami are two teams that are kind of being underlooked that are just dominating their conference. I mean, those are some good teams. You talked about Vanderbilt, Alabama, little sneaky cover there by Alabama, running one touchdown in late to cover that 10.5. That was nice. Got me a little win at the Westgate contest, so I'm not going to complain about that. But Vanderbilt's been pretty good. They're a solid team too, Vanderbilt. They're no longer, you know, that easy team that you think of on the SEC schedule. They are a tough out. They're probably an 8-9 win team this year. Texas A&M, Rome, glad to see you finally jumped on the bandwagon. I've been trying to tell you for a while that Coach Elko will have those guys going. Once I saw him bring out the chair and start throwing it around, I got sold. That got the job done at Notre Dame. Maybe threatened the placeholder there and said, "Hey, look, dude, if you don't drop this, you're gonna get a chair across the helmet." So honestly, credits to A&M.
It was a big win against Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State is just a really, really good team. They're 4-2, but that's a really solid. I still think they should be ranked in the top 25. They're really great. Blake Shapen or whatever the quarterback is, but Marcel Reed, he's having a good year. But yeah, Texas A&M. They're looking really good. That's not going to be good for Texas at the end of the year, though, for sure. I don't know if Texas can actually win more than 5 games this year, or 6 games, rather. I don't know how many games they have now.
Come on, Rome.
It's really bad.
No.
What do they already got? They got, what, 3 wins already, Texas?
Don't know. Don't care.
I mean, Rome's really, he's really jumped the ship.
Any other things you guys want to talk about from week 6.
Well, you know, I kind of teased on was it Monday, who's going to be the front runner, who is going to be the next coach at Penn State.
Yeah.
You know, now that James Franklin supposedly has got a $49 million buyout,
and they're not going to buy him out.
You know, we talked about Lane Kiffin, I think, the week before. I mean, Kurt Seguin's out in Indiana, but I think the guy that's the right guy for the job. I don't see him leaving where he's at. Jason would hate if he did, but Marcus Freeman's the perfect answer for what Penn State needs. Perfect guy. He can win big games. He's done it before. Get him in a power conference. If Penn State was ever to make a call, that's the first guy I would call first, Marcus Freeman, and see what his interest level is at leaving Notre Dame. I think he'd be the perfect guy to take over there.
Jason?
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I think the only spot that I would say that I could see Marcus Freeman ever going would be if his alma mater called him.
What's that?
Ohio State.
I still hate his fucking beard, man. All right. It's a dye,
just for men color?
I like seeing guys dye their beards. Just look at me. Nice salt and pepper. All the bitches like it, you know?
Yeah, but Marcus Freeman's a good looking dude, man. So
He is good looking. Yeah, he could do whatever he wants. Yeah. All right. I think we're done then. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Aaron's College Football Games of the Week. It is a long list. And we'll do a little check in on how we're doing on the Survivor and Aaron's personal Survivor after this. All right. We're back. Just catch up on some of the scores here in Major League Baseball. Phillies just dominated today to stave off elimination, 8-2. Dodgers still up 2-1 against the Phillies, but this is a good one. Should be pretty good tomorrow. Some good baseball going on. Yankees did not make it. I missed that game, but by the time I saw the score, I'm like, all right, they're done. So who do you guys think is like the best looking team right now? Have you guys been watching the baseball playoffs?
I would have said Milwaukee's the best looking team right now.
Milwaukee looks really good. I would say Milwaukee or Seattle.
Seattle lost today, and I'll be honest.
I mean, Toronto's playing really well. I mean, they were up 6-1 in game. They were up 6-1 right game now. Three until Aaron Judge basically came back and evened that game.
Oh, that was such a good game. That was such a good game.
Yeah. Toronto's playing well. Yeah.
If you're projecting, I would say it'd be a Toronto Milwaukee World Series right now.
Interesting.
I would still probably lean towards the Dodgers, but the Dodgers have a big gaping hole, and that's the bullpen, and it's just bad.
Bullpen's bad.
It is really, really bad.
They
I think
did
they showed
not
a stat.
Need to bring out Kershaw today. They really didn't need to do that. It was
You say Romney didn't, but I mean, given Kershaw's postseason history, I mean, why not just throw him in a game when he's down and just give up a bunch of runs,
dude? Yeah, I guess get out of the way, right? Now he's going to feel like there's no pressure next time.
I don't think you're going to see Kershaw again in this series. I mean, that's it. I mean, basically every time he was getting hit, Dave Roberts was just looking down on his paper, shaking his head no. He couldn't even watch.
Remember how I was talking about how like Dave Roberts should be fired? You know, this is before like the World Series wins. I still don't get some of his calls. I still, and I don't watch baseball religiously like the way other people do, but.
Well, it seems to me, I mean, maybe Jason, you guys can point this out, like postseason baseball now has just become like really bullpens. Like starting pitchers now like go three innings. And it's like, I don't know why you're pulling a guy out after three innings who's only given up one earned run and there's only one base runner on. It's like Detroit pulled their guy out. He only threw like 54 pitches, six strikeouts and three innings.
Well, I feel like the Dodgers really accentuated that last year by doing like all bullpen games and just having their starters just like, hey, four innings draining out and let's just ride it out. And like now they're screwing up again by having no bullpen. Now they're just putting all their starters in the bullpen and having their bullpen just like collect the check.
Yeah, there's that old adage. I mean, as part as why pitchers weren't going deeper in games during the regular season was at the third time the hitters see the pitcher, generally that's when they get the advantage. So that's why they're only pitching 5-6 innings because it's, you know, two appearances against the batter. Now it's almost like, hey, you get one rounder on the batting order and we're going to give them a different look. And because, hey, we're carrying X amount of pitchers on the roster during, you know, the ALCS, like, or during the round, hey, we're going to use every available arm and give every matchup possible and probably just overanalyzing it versus, you know, for me, the best season of my baseball watching is 2005 with the White Sox. And they had, you know, four guys in the ALCS starters go complete games against the Angels. Like, you ain't seeing that anymore. Like, they're going matchups, you know, by inning, by batter, and not letting, you know, some of this stuff hit orders. But I think, you know, the what was it, five years ago with who was it with the Rays? And he's on the Dodgers now.
Blake Snell.
Snell, when they took Snell out when he was like dominating, and that was a total analytics play at that point because they weren't going to let him go through the rotation again, and all the backlash about that, and then he ends up you know getting traded or whatnot. But I mean, those are the exceptions where it's like, you know, back in the day, man, manager goes by gut feeling, like, nah, I'm going to let this guy ride. I'm giving, you know, give him there. Now we pull him. We go to the fresh arm of the bullpen. He's going to throw 100, whoever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, I think baseball's gone too much. Analytics. I mean, you talked about the White Sox. I mean, obviously the Braves back in the day with Smoltz, Glavin, and all those guys. Even the Red Sox with Schilling, Martinez. I mean, to me, a good team, even the Diamondbacks when they got to the World Series like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, all those guys were going 6-7 innings deep. Yep. So, I mean, if you look at the games that the Dodgers have won, I mean, Blake Snell's gone 7. And Yokomoto didn't get
great
today.
He did great.
But they're really, the Dodgers kind of have to now if their team's like, hey. And to Jason's point, I mean, I'm more of a gut feeling. I kind of read what the hitters are doing. Like, hey, dude, my guy's dominating. Like, you've seen with Scooble with the Tigers. He'll go 7-8 innings, and they'll be like, all right, whatever. He's had 110 pitches. All right, maybe he's getting tired. Maybe his stuff's kind of falling off. Let's get him out. But if your guy's pitcher's still good, and his stuff's still electric, like, let a guy go through the batting order three times. I mean, what do you got to lose? I mean, you're going to throw a bullpen arm out there, kind of wear him out, and then they're going to wear your bullpen down.
Before Roberts messed up in the later half of the second game, him letting Snell finish off that inning when I think it was like two or three guys on base already. He just brought in the stuff, got a couple outs. That was really rare. That was really awesome to see. But no, yeah. Baseball playoffs, man, really exciting. I absolutely love it. I don't know why I'm loving it more this year, but every game I'm trying to catch as much as possible. And it's been really good stuff. All right. Let's get into it. Aaron's college football games of the week. As you guys know, we are in the Westgate Super Contest as well. Last week, we had a really good week. Aaron, what was our record?
We went 5 wins, 1 loss, 1 push.
Pretty
last week.
Phenomenal. And then how was the games of the week? Like, how'd that go?
Games of the week went great, Rome. I mean, if you add in all the games with the two bonus games, we went 7-3 last week.
Wait, did the bonus games hit? I thought the Cal didn't hit.
Cal didn't, but Kansas State did. So 1-1 in the bonus games.
Cal was a bad call, dude. They got manhandled. I'm glad it didn't go that game, actually. That shit was late.
Actually, I think Cal was, well, I don't know what happened. They jumped out to a 14-0 lead, then 21-7. Then Duke woke up from the midnight start, kick off their time, and scored 38 unanswered. I don't know what happened there.
My daughter was actually excited to go to the game, and I was like, oh, let's go to the game. And then, you know, we had like a long day, and then we're just sitting back watching the first quarter, and she's like, I'm glad we didn't go to the game.
First quarter was exciting, Rome. I think Cal was up 21-7, and then from there it was all downhill. I thought I was going to go 6-1 personally in the Westgate, and Cal shit the bed on for me.
Oh, damn. Did you actually pick them?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay, nice. Well, that's pretty awesome. So now we're like what? In like top what?
Let me look. I think we as a group were in 125th place. Let me look. Let me check. Almost 1,100.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So let's look here.
I think that was our first good, like, great week too.
Yes. Yeah.
We just need like another one or two of those, right?
Yeah. So yeah, tied in 125th place as a group.
Hell yeah.
I'm still salty, man. Georgia should have definitely covered, man. It's a BS.
Definitely should have. I agree. So.
All right. Cool. We got our longest list from you to date, I think.
I think second longest, Rome. I think the longest was 13. This one's 12, right?
Yeah, you are absolutely right. Yeah. So the graphics coming out tomorrow morning. We will list when Aaron's games are Friday night games. So you know, to listen to the pod a little bit earlier, the pod will be out early Friday morning or Thursday morning as well. We have 2 games Friday. So Aaron, go ahead and take it away. Pretty fun games.
Yeah, Friday you got South Florida versus North Texas. That's a pick 'em. I mean, obviously South Florida's kind of come to fame this year, beating Boise State, beating
good
Florida.
Team.
Outside shot possibly at the playoff as that group of five teams. So I like South Florida here in a pick 'em against North Texas. Don't know a lot about this North Texas team outside, I think, the fact that they played at Arizona State a few weeks back. Did not do too well there. Both teams, I mean, I know South Florida's coming off a bye. I'm not sure about North Texas, but I'm going to ride with South Florida in this game, Rome.
Nice. Yeah, North Texas is having a pretty good year. I caught.
Yeah, I mean, they're like I hate to say it, Rome. Maybe I don't, but they are. I'm going to say this. As far as my power rankings go, they're ahead of Texas as far as teams in the state of Texas. So
I don't know what to think anymore because they just did not show for that Florida game. So
North Texas schedule, though, they've played Lamar. I'm not familiar with Lamar.
Not Lamar Jackson, right? Just Lamar.
No, just okay. Lamar University. Western Michigan, Washington State, Army, and South Alabama. North Texas schedule, a little, not the toughest one down the road. So,
but getting a lot of respect here on the against South Florida. This is the pick.
A hell of a lot of respect too. South Florida has some pretty big wins. All right, cool.
Go ahead. All right, South Florida.
Yeah, South Florida. Rutgers, Washington.
Yeah, well, you got Rutgers coming off a bye. Washington. kind of a little tough stretch here, right? They had Ohio State, lost, went to Maryland, was not looking good. Bounced back late in that fourth quarter, rally for the win. Maryland got the cover. So, I mean, this is, we talk about teams going from the West to the East. Now you got a team going from New York, basically, to the Pacific Northwest and Washington. I didn't look. What time's this game? Is this game like 7:30 out here in the West Coast?
You don't write those times down.
6 p.m. So, yeah, I was hoping Rome would do that. I do the legwork, and he just writes the time and the network and the ranking. But hey, you can only ask for so much.
It's on FS. It's on FS1 if you wanted to know, Rome.
So it's going
to
be basically a 9 p.m. kickoff time for Rutgers, their time. But I think coming off a bye, they'll be okay. I'm going to take Washington here. I'm not loving it here, but I mean, Rutgers, I like this team. I don't know if they're going to be able to stop the quarterback, but actually, but I like what Washington's done. They've shown me a lot here. Defensively, they've been pretty good. They held Ohio State to, what, 24 points. I think Washington can put up some points here, so I'm going to take Washington to win this game, cover the 10.5.
Wow. Okay. Saturday games. Nice, long, big slate. You start in the afternoon, and then you go back to the morning.
I just going off the lines that they appear to me from my bookie. So, you know, that was the first game that popped up that was meaningful, Rome. So that's what we went with. I type it down as that. I don't want to go and look at the time, the date, the ranking. Just boom. Here's the team, the matchup, the spread. And here we go.
All right. Here you go.
Let the audience figure out what time it is. They've got a guide like everybody else does. So we got Kansas plus 14 at Texas Tech. I said, Rome, I think Texas Tech's a top 5 team. I like Kansas. They've had a tough schedule, played well at Missouri, did not do too well against Cincinnati. That was a tough home loss for them. But Kansas, when I watched them on tape like 2 weeks ago, I was not impressed by this defense. Wide receivers were open left and right for Cincinnati. Texas Tech can score. They will score. Texas Tech has a defense, unlike a lot of teams in the Big 12. I'm going to take Texas Tech to cover the 14 points here. It's a lot of points. But I feel like they can contain the Kansas in that offense, and I'm going to take Tech to cover 14 here.
All right. Alabama-Missouri.
Alabama-Missouri, Rome, this is one of the rare games where we're going to play the total. The total, I'm taking over 51.5. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Alabama's coming off an impressive 4 wins after their loss to Florida State that included, what, victories over Georgia, Vanderbilt. So they're getting a little revenge from last year. Missouri's undefeated. They're playing well, coming off a bye week, trying to revenge a 33-0 loss last year at the hands of Alabama. This is a shootout. I'm going to take the over 51.5 here.
For example, Missouri's really good this year, so should be fun. Arizona State, Utah.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona State, Utah, this is probably mine and Jason's probably one and two teams in the Big 12 coming in preseason, how we had it hyped up here. Arizona State is still undefeated, I believe, in conference. Their only loss was out of conference there against Mississippi State. Utah already lost a home game to Texas Tech. I think it's going to be a tight game, low-scoring game. I'm going to take the points here. I'm going to take Arizona State. Both teams are coming off a bye week, so both teams should be well-prepared. I think it's a close game. Utah, I think, went to this one by 2 or 3 points, but I'll take Arizona State to cover. Give me Arizona State plus 6.
Okay. Michigan, USC, my game of the week.
Well, who do you got then, Rome? If this is your game of the week, who are you taking?
You know, this feels like a trap game, actually, for Michigan. I think Michigan's a hell of a lot better than USC. I'm never really convinced that USC is that good. A lot of smack talking. Michigan's coach was saying how it's going to probably be a big turnout for Michigan fans down there in the Coliseum. And USC's coach saying he doesn't give a shit, more or less in those words. But I still think Michigan takes this on the road. I think the Michigan D is too much for USC. This is going to be USC's toughest opponent to date, maybe the toughest one that they face all year round.
What are you talking about? They already played Illinois, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Michigan's a hell of a lot better.
Then they play Notre Dame, who's better than Michigan.
I think Michigan's defense is still way better than Notre Dame. It's going to be really tough.
Well, you know, I heard this phrase in text messages last week from Rome when he said Texas was bringing that big D to Florida. We saw that how that happened. USC off a bye. beats Michigan. I like USC to cover 2.5 here. I think Michigan's been talking a lot. I like this Michigan team, but still a young team. I think USC can score. I think USC gets up for this game. Lincoln Riley needs a statement win there at USC. He gets it with a win over Michigan. I like USC minus 2.5 here.
Yeah, the 2.5 is a little scary.
Yeah, Rome's talking a lot for a team that's beaten New Mexico, Central Michigan, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. All right,
that's a good team.
The Nebraska win. I like the Nebraska win at Nebraska.
Should be ranked right now.
And the only reason why Rome likes to win over New Mexico because they beat his UCLA by like 30 points. So yeah. You know, hey,
Nebraska's not bad.
They're not bad, but they should have never beaten UCLA by 30 points. But all yes, right. Rome, I'm taking USC here minus 2.5. I think it's a close game. I think it's a tight game, but I like the weapons. I like USC coming off the bye. They'll get it done at the Coliseum. First big win there in a while. And what will be Jason's a packed second LL. Team?
Yeah,
I don't have a second team, Rome.
Isn't USC kind of like your second? Like you're always
he can't be Notre Dame and then USC. No way,
crazy.
No way.
Are you secretly a USC guy though? Because you pick them a lot.
I picked them once.
Yeah, I guess Illinois.
But you know what? If Aaron doesn't pick him, I'm picking him this week.
Please don't. It's not going to end well for you guys. All right.
Hopefully you don't take Michigan this week, Rome. I got 3 picks this week, so.
That's a stay away for me. That would be a stay away.
Good.
2.5? Hell no.
Okay.
If anything, USC wins by a field goal if they do win. 2.5 is not enough. If it was five, I would take the points and Michigan on this one.
If Michigan was getting +5, I'd take them too. But I think USC wins by at least
2.5. Yeah, 2.5 is tough, man. That's a losing scenario there. All right, Florida, Texas A&M.
Big game here, man. I mean, this is a big game. Florida coming off that impressive win against Texas. Now goes on the road against Texas A&M. This is going to be a slugfest of a game. Both good defenses. I'm taking the points. I'm taking Florida cover 7.5 here. I like A&M. I think A&M eventually wins this game. But Florida, we know they can play if anybody defensively. They've shown it all year. Texas, LSU, their schedule adds up. Even South Florida, they shut them down. Offensively, they got some things going last week. Won't be easy, but I think Florida figures things out, keeps it close. I think A&M wins this game by 4 to 5 points. I'll take the 7.5. The line's been coming down, so Florida's been getting bet here.
Yeah. I think I might pick this one as one of my games, but I'm taking A&M to cover. I really like them. Florida overperformed last week. Every game that they won has been not very impressive. Their losses have been more telling than their wins.
Florida's first win against a FBS school. Their other win was against like Long Island or whatever the hell they play.
Yeah,
some kind
but
of,
like
liquor.
The
drink
way Texas looked, though, it's just like, dude, like, come on, man. It's just that was not a real game. I don't know what the hell that was. I'm just not buying it. Texas A&M, they're a really good team, though. Like, I gotta imagine they're winning by at least 14 points, at least by 2 touchdowns, maybe more.
Who do you like in that one, Jason? It's a tough game to call. Actually,
this might be the easiest one on the whole slate.
I think it's easy to say Texas A&M wins. I just think if you're going off the spreads we have, it's 7.5. Ah, man,
I like it. I got Texas A&M win. Way by 10.
I don't know if I like your confidence. I just think Florida, when you look at them defensively, you know, they've had some bad losses, but you know, they've kept those games fairly close. I mean, Miami maybe not so. But LSU, they were in that game. The defense is good, the offensive, they just can't get it together. So
they had 5 turnovers against LSU and still only lost by what? Was it 12 10. Points, 14 points? Yeah, so.
It was like 20 to 10 or something like that. So I don't know, Ro. At 7.5, I don't feel confident Texas A&M can cover that. That's just my only thing. I think they win the game, but just that's a lot.
Yeah.
I think A&M wins like 24-20, which would basically kind of make sense. The over-under is 46.5. Based off that spread, then they've got a kind of 20. They got like a 27-20 type game, 27-19, so. I think A&M wins 24-20. Close game. I mean, we'll see. I mean, Florida, maybe they gained some confidence. They busted out a 5-star freshman wide receiver for the first time. I don't know if he was hurt or suspension, but he balled out against Texas. I think it's a close game. I got Florida to cover there, Rome.
I was fuming at that game, dude. I did not see who did what. I was just flabbergasted about the whole game. Okay. South Carolina, LSU.
South Carolina's getting 9 points against LSU. I mean, LSU's coming off their first loss of the year against Ole Miss, Mississippi. South Carolina's had a few rough games, but this is a tough one. I mean, South Carolina, I think, can keep it close. LSU's just been a mess on offense all year. Their defense is good. I'm gonna ride the Tigers here -9.
Oh,
I mean, it's a lot of
points. What?
It's a lot of points. I mean, everything's telling me to take South Carolina, but I just feel like something's up here, man.
What's
something's
telling
up.
You? All right.
I think LSU's defense, like we talked about at home, they get a lot of turnovers and they get a lot of pick sixes. I think that's the difference here. I'm gonna take LSU -9.
Jason, what do you think about that one? Dude, the Gamecocks are pretty. They might be the best 3-2 team out there.
Maybe.
Actually, I don't know. Hold on.
It's a lot of points, but they lost to Missouri 29-20 at Missouri. And then they lost to Vanderbilt bad 31-7.
God.
I mean, Vanderbilt's a good team, but like.
I thought that was closer for some reason.
No. So I can see where Aaron's leaning. LSU probably coming off this loss. You know, Brian Kelly was his usual chipper self in the postgame press conference after that loss. You know, they may have something coming out to prove here at a moment. I would lean with
is
Aaron.
Is that a night game though? I don't, you know, Rome's supposed to look up the times of these games. Is that a night game in Baton Rouge?
Dude, I'm editing this whole thing out here. If it's 4:45 for us, so yeah, it's nighttime.
Okay. So that makes it very difficult down there.
So looking at South Carolina's schedule, because you know, they beat Virginia Tech 24-11. I remember that game.
Yeah, because you picked it, Rome.
South Carolina State 38-10. They lost to Vanderbilt, got their ass beat. They lost to Missouri 29-20, and they beat Kentucky 35-15. If you look at the rest of the schedule, man, they're facing 11th ranked LSU, which is a title contender. Oklahoma is after this one. Then you got Alabama. Then you got Ole Miss. Then you got Texas A&M.
You got to ask yourself, when's Texas going to get a schedule like this, right?
Dude. Like, this is the toughest schedule. They got Coastal Carolina finally around Thanksgiving, and then they finish off with Clemson, which Clemson, who knows what they're going to be by that time. But that's got to be the toughest, gruesome 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 week stretch out of any team out there.
I would say Oklahoma would give you the close second if you looked at Oklahoma's
really?
Schedule. They got Texas. They had Texas, which
well,
is
well, we don't know. That might not mean anything this year.
It's fair. And then they have at South Carolina. But now that to end their season, number 4 Ole Miss, number 12 Tennessee, at number 8 Alabama, versus Missouri, and then ending with LSU.
That's pretty tough.
Right now they end with 5 straight ranked opponents in the top 15 currently.
I mean, based on what you guys said between South Carolina, Oklahoma, and even Florida's schedule, I mean, you're talking about like a gauntlet of like 5 games out of 6 where they're playing against top 15 opponents. I just don't trust South Carolina here, Rome. I just don't. I think LSU, like Jason said, they've got something to prove. That defense is really, really good. I think they get turnovers. That's the difference in the game. Their offense has been shaky. But that defense can force turnovers. I think they get some here. South Carolina does not have a good offensive line. I'm taking the Bayou Tigers here. I'm taking LSU -9.
Yeah, well, the thing for the LSU is they brought like a lot of guys back, right? On the offense hasn't clicked yet. I think they're due, if anything. This might be the time. It's week 7. If it's not now, then when? So it would be a pretty big victory if they can blow South Carolina out. Ohio State, Illinois.
Ohio State, 14.5-point favorite against Illinois.
A lot.
It's a lot. That actually, the sharps are on Illinois. I'm going to take Illinois, too. This game, this was 16.5 on the spread when I saw it on Monday. It's gone down. This is only Ohio State's, second true road game. Their other one was at Washington. They struggled there for a half, kind of came out second half, got it done. Illinois is kind of, you know, outside of that loss against Indiana, which, you know, they just got, you know, beat down bad. I like Ohio State to win here, but I think Illinois covers. Feels like a 30-20 type game. I'll take the 14.5. If you early bet it early in the week and got 16.5, 17, better for you. I think the line's going to keep coming down. So, you know, once this gets out, the sharps and everybody are going to be on it. I think Illinois will probably close up about a 13.5, 13-point favorite. But, yeah, I'll take Illinois plus 14.5.
How good is Illinois, though? Because, like, outside of, like, barely beating out USC, they really haven't beaten anybody this year.
We got a nice win against Duke.
Yeah, Duke, I think, was the big win. I mean, USC is still a pretty good team. I those are the two signature wins. Western Illinois, Western Michigan, obviously not great. Purdue hasn't been good in quite a long time. So it's their biggest test of the year with Ohio State.
Cool.
Illinois plus 14.5. Pretty interesting. Indiana, Oregon.
Yeah, this is probably the game of the week where you got Indiana 7.5-point underdog going to Oregon. Total's low at 55. I mean, Indiana, the questions are going to be like last year. They were great at home, had a couple tough road games, and just got blown out. Is this the same Indiana team now going into Oregon, which is probably on the West Coast the toughest place to play? Oregon's looked great. Their quarterback, Moore's, looked like the Heisman. He's the Heisman front runner. Oregon's looked great defensively. Both teams coming off a bye week, so no excuses here. I'm going to take Oregon here, -7.5. I just don't trust Indiana right now on the road. I got to see it to believe it. Show me that they can do something on the road in a big game. Oregon's been dominant, especially at home in the Dan Lanning era. I see they get it done again here. This might even go over 55, but I'll ride with the Ducks here, -7.5.
I don't know. I really don't know. I guess all the close games that they've had has been on the road.
Yeah, they didn't look great against Iowa. Only beat them by, what, 7 or 5 because they took a safety at the end of the game. But I think that's only Indiana's road game was Iowa. So
Oregon's looked great on the road, but they haven't played anyone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Penn State win looked a lot bigger a couple weeks ago.
I mean, you're going to Penn State and win, it's still an impressive win. Doesn't look as good after the UCLA, but that the old whiteout is still a tough victory.
Yeah. Okay. Oregon, -7.5 and the over. Two more games left, Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah, this is weird, man. I mean, people are betting Oklahoma. I think it was +3 early Monday when I saw it. Now it's down to +1. You know, talks about the quarterback coming back and possibly playing for Oklahoma. Texas, we know, has looked bad. Both of these teams have great defense. So I'm going to go against what, you know, people think. I'm not taking a side. I'm taking over 43 points, Rome.
Wow.
I mean, everybody's expecting a defensive battle, and we may get that. But I think when you got defenses, that leads to turnovers, that leads to short fields, that leads to opportunity for points. I think this game goes over. 24-21 type final. 43 is a little low for me. I'll take over 43 points in this one. Really not sure what to expect from Oklahoma with the quarterback being out in Texas. You know, are they going to pull like a Penn State and just kind of give up again another week? Or are they going to actually show up and play a good game? I think Texas might play better offensively here. But Oklahoma's a really good defense. Actually, Oklahoma might be better defensively than Florida was last week. And that could be a tough task for Texas. But I'm going to take over 43 points. Low total. They changed it, but it used to be the Red River Shootout. I think this game's not going to be necessarily a shootout, but it'll go over the total.
Yeah, I got this as a low scoring game myself. Oklahoma has not scored a lot of points against really good opponents. You got 24 points against Auburn. 24 points against Michigan. Michigan has a really good defense.
I think they get 24 again here, 24-21 type game.
Yeah, it might be 24-21. That would barely put them at the over. That's a tight one.
But that's what I'm writing. But who do you guys like to win this game, Oklahoma or Texas?
I have not picked it. I don't know what to expect. I want to go with Archie. Like, he's had some against Sam Houston, I guess, but he's looked like trash since then, man. I have no confidence in Texas now. I kind of hope Oklahoma just blows them out. I'm hoping they win by like 2-3 touchdowns.
I think we questioned Aaron mentioned Oklahoma's quarterback. Was it John Mateer?
Yeah.
He's questioned. He's questionable.
Because he was supposed to be out 4 weeks. This would be week. This would be week three.
Yeah,
he broke his hand, right?
Yeah, he should not be back until November, in like another 2 or 3 weeks.
I don't think he's going to play.
Texas defense is good, and I don't know. I don't know what to get out of the Texas offense. I think that's the biggest question mark right now, because what you're getting is Oklahoma has been challenged and risen to versus Auburn and Michigan. They've won those games. Maybe not. Aaron's call on the under is probably looking better, because I don't know what you're going to get offensively from either team at this point. Yeah, I would lean Oklahoma. I'm just very wary of Texas right now, which I think most people are.
I'm not even going to watch this game.
Is that a 9? That's a 9 o'clock kickoff, right? Our time,
12:30.
Okay.
Don't give a shit when it's on. I've seen enough Texas already.
I guarantee you, Jason, if Texas like is up like 21-0, Rome would be like, "Oh man, I told you they're back. They're back, man. I told you, Arch Manning lit a fire under his ass. He listened to the show."
I would need to see a few games from Arch Manning. I'm pulling for Arch Manning, you know, but. He
I think, you know, GT, he sent me a message about Arch Manning. He said, "Hey, where do you think he plays next year?" Because he says he's transferring out of Texas at the end of the year.
I think so, too. Yeah. Yeah, he's not going to be there.
Tennessee? Ole Miss?
No, Ole Miss is locked in for a couple of years. They have a young guy there, the other new quarterback.
Tennessee? Yeah, that Heupel? Yeah, that could... That's intriguing.
Yeah, that's the rumor there.
Why not? I mean, he's from Louisiana. Why not LSU? I mean, the quarterback for there is going pro. So, we'll see.
Yeah, that's the rumor mill now. He can't really stay in Texas. Okay, last game, Georgia-Auburn.
Georgia-Auburn. I think this game is going to be an interesting game. I'm going to take Auburn +3.5. Pinning Georgia on upset alert. I think Georgia wins a tight game, but Auburn covers. I mean, Auburn's coming off the bye week. Georgia did what they do at home. Jason called it, just whip up on Kentucky. Unfortunately, they did not finish that cover, but we'll take the half point push in the Westgate contest. I'm taking Auburn +3.5 here, Rome. If you can get it higher, get it higher. But Auburn offensively is terrible. But they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. Defensively, they're really good. I think it's a slugfest game. I'm going to take the points. Georgia wins by a point or two, but I'll take 3.5. Give me Auburn +3.5.
I'd go the other way. Aaron just said it. The Auburn offense is just terrible. I think Georgia, I think Gunnar Stockton, you know, has found some things in a few of these games. 3.5, it's a weird line, because if it turns into a defensive shootout, this is how Aaron, I think, wins it in the cover. I just don't have the confidence in Auburn's offense for the game being that close, where, you know, Georgia could put up points. You know, they did versus Tennessee. The Alabama game was close. That's the outlier. You know, they did lose that. But I just feel like there's a little more in this offense that they're going to be able to find versus Auburn team. And I don't think Auburn can keep up and score.
The plus side is this, is that Auburn held Texas A&M to 16 points a couple weeks ago. Other than that, though, like, they've really scored a lot of points against.
Well, they held Mantir in Oklahoma to 24.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Look, this Auburn defense is good. The reason why I like Auburn here is they're coming off a bye week.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have some wrinkles in the offense, maybe a few trick plays.
And Georgia has not looked great.
And I think Auburn defensively knows really good. I mean, Auburn, this is their first big home game. They've played at Baylor. They played at Oklahoma. They have not had a meaningful home game all year. This is their, like, homecoming game. This is their statement game right here. Georgia's a little down right now with Kirby Smart and how they've kind of played these last couple weeks. Alabama kind of, you know, exposed them a little bit. I don't think Auburn is nearly as good as Alabama on offense, but better defensively. I think this is a tight game, and I'm going to ride with the points in the home team. Could be wrong. Georgia could win by 7 or 10, but, you know, that's why we gamble here.
Georgia should be 3-2.
3-2. Who was the other team that was supposed to beat them? Oh, Tennessee?
Tennessee, yeah. They should have lost that game. Now, this is a really tough one. This is a pick 'em. 3.5 points. I guess so. It's worth a shot. it's worth taking them as an upset. I don't like it. I don't like Auburn as like the right guy to upset Georgia, but I respect it. I'll be rooting for it.
Yeah, I think if we're looking for an upset of all those games, be Missouri. I think Missouri's a really good football team against Alabama. I think they can hang. I think they can play. They're kind of getting not a lot of respect.
That's potential because Alabama had a big win against Vanderbilt last week.
Well, two back-to-back big
two
wins,
back-to-back
right?
Back really big
they
win.
They beat Georgia. They beat Vanderbilt. They beat these guys 33-0 last year.
Yeah.
The quarterback there is a transfer from Missouri from Penn State. This is a really – and Missouri's coming off a bye. I like teams at home as dogs coming off byes.
Yeah.
Especially when they're competent and a good team.
Yeah. All right. To kind of wrap things up, Aaron, you want to give us your locks of the week?
Oh, man, do I even have any locks this week?
But you had a rough one last week.
I went 2-0-1 in locks last week, Rome.
Oh, that's right.
Or 2-1. 2-1. That's right. Florida State was a lock that lost, but I did have Florida and I did have Cincinnati against Iowa State, who took them from the unbeatens.
Okay. Nice.
So, you know, check the tape, Rome. Check all the right. tape. Ooh, locks this week. Wow. I'm going to go USC.
No fucking way.
I'm going to go Alabama, Missouri over 51.5. And I'm going to go LSU -9.
Okay.
This is a tough week in college football. This is a tough week. A lot of big matchups out here this week.
Okay. Any other updates? Are we missing something? Like, don't we usually do something else or no? Is this it?
That's it, man. What more do you need than Aaron's games of the week, you know? It's the main event.
That's all I need, I guess. I think these painkillers are starting to kick in, so we got to wrap things up, guys.
Let's wrap it up. We got NFL tomorrow.
We got NFL tomorrow with Sniper West. So
Sniper West makes a return back to Source on the Sofa Pod.
Sniper West, he just saw all the winners last week. You know, he wants to jump on the winners.
Back to back winning weeks for us. So he wants to get in on the action. I mean, what was the feedback from him on the last one, Rome? And you know, what did his audience think if they actually had a chance to tune in?
Just all the sides, you know, like he actually a lot of those bets were sold on his platforms, and he made a killing, hit about like 75% of those picks, which kind of matched up. I think he was like 4 for 6 on our pod. Pretty good stuff. I'm not sure. I think he wants another shot at it against the spread because it's kind of tough. He was 6-9. We all got 6-9. So everyone who's done the pod has gotten 6-9. We have to just start bringing people on if they just get 6-9 the first week. But he will be back, though. So he'll be able to add to his season total.
We won't be going 6-9 this upcoming week because we have a few teams on bye weeks.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's impossible now until like the last.
But this is a tough week in the NFL. So.
Tough one. Updated rankings against the spread contest. I am now leading the pod. Let me pull it up real quick, actually. But we are all separated.
You said
by
37, 36, and then 36, 37.
Yeah, because I had such a good week. I was 9-4. Basically wiped out all the losses from the previous 4 weeks. So now I'm at 37 and 36. Leading the season, but it was also my third win in the first 5 weeks, third best record in the first 5 weeks of the season. So thank you very much, guys. And both you guys are tied at 36-37, so just a game back. The fact that I've won 3 weeks and I'm only a game up is pretty impressive. Jason won the first week.
That means you must have been pretty bad in those 2 weeks, Rome.
Well, I was 6-9 the first week, and I was just
it's kind of like your jump shot, Rome. You're either hitting all net or hitting backboard. So we'll find out what you are in week six.
Well, Jason had a pretty big week the first week. He was 8-7, I guess. And then me and you, Aaron, we tied the second week at 7-8. So that's why we share the win on that one. Week three, I won an 8-7. You had the 6-9. Jason had the 7-8. Week four. You killed everyone. You had the 6-9 or the 9-6 weekend. I had a 7-8. Me and Jason had 7-8. Sniper had 6-9. Then last week was the 9-4. Kind of recovered all the losses from the first 4 weeks. So tight stuff, man. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you can finish around 500 in this.
And by the way, all my stay away games, I don't want to post it, but all my stay away games, I'm hitting on those. Every game I want to stay away, and I pick a side, I'm winning. I think it's like at a 70% clip.
Well, that's why we told you, you got to pick every game. There's no stay away.
It's stupid. It's better than my regular picks. I'm kind of frustrated about that. I was like, wait a minute, because I actually write essay stay away, and I add that to. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, can I like do like a separate graphic to like brag about my stay away games? I can't even do that. Yeah, Sniper Wes comes back tomorrow for the NFL picks.
What time are we recording? Right after the game finishes tomorrow?
I believe so, yeah. Might be doing some stand-up, but I don't think so, though. I think I'm just going to lay low and some writing.
I don't know if you want to keep Sniper West waiting too long.
I think we did last week. I think we didn't jump on, or like last time, we didn't jump on to like 9:30, but he texted me, and I'll tell you guys exactly. He said, late night again. I was like, well, 8:30 is not late night. Well, he said it felt like it last time.
Well, said he finishes up all his stuff by 5, Rome. So 8:30 is kind of late.
And it's 11:30 right now, so it's late night tonight.
It's definitely late night tonight. Cool. Aaron's college games of the weeks. Aaron, do you have an updated total for the year yet or no?
Yeah, I got that for you, Rome. So updated games of the week to watch plus bonus. We are 42 wins, 29 losses. And 2 pushes.
Fuck yeah. That's awesome.
We had a big week last week, like we said, 7-3. So it was a winning week across the board for us again last week. I mean, this a winning week in college and pro. So, I mean, hey, if you actually tuned into the show, made some money. This might be the week, though, to fade us. I don't know. We'll see. This week's a tough week. But I do like my locks in college football. For sure, I think hit 2 out of 3 of those. That might be my Westgate plays right there.
Yeah.
So, well, I can't play the total in the Missouri-Alabama game. But, yeah, I do like USC this week, Rome.
All right. That will do it. Source from the sofa. Aaron's college games the week. Week 7 in the books. Catch us tomorrow for NFL lines. We are out.